Hello and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 2, episode 8, the show where we talk all things NFL and football. As always, I'm Thomas Pokornik, joined by Thomas Coburn and producer Paulo Gismondi via Zoom call. What's going on, Coburn?
Oh, you know, just absolutely nothing. Little election last night. Even we still pay attention, even though we're in Canada. So that was interesting, even though I guess it's still not over, but who really knows? We'll get into that later in the show, though, yeah, won't we?
Yeah. It still isn't over. Just for reference, it is about 11:30 on Wednesday morning. We usually do record these on Tuesday, and yesterday we had this grand epiphany that we should wait a day, postpone the podcast to Wednesday, just to wait and see what happens from the NFL trade deadline, because we assumed that we would have a lot to talk about from the trade deadline, but obviously that was not the case at all.
Absolutely nothing. There was what? The Dolphins and Patriots made a trade.
And then I think there was one other trade, right? So, fun fact for you. The last 2 years, the trade deadline, there have been 3 trades, and Miami has been a part in all 3 of them. Last year, the only trade that happened on deadline day was Aqib Talib getting shipped from the Rams to the Dolphins just for a salary dump. He never played a game there. I think he was injured anyways. And then this year, the Dolphins traded a 3rd-string receiver for a 7th-round pick, and then I believe they moved a 7th-round pick for a 3rd- or 4th-string running back. It was completely
meaningless. It's like
there might as well have been no trades at all with how anticlimactic it was. I guess it's starting to become a trend.
Too.
Yeah, there were a lot of big names on the table, you know, whether that be Stephon Gilmore, Will Fuller was a big one that constantly got, I guess, teased to us all day. I don't know if Kenny Golladay wasn't necessarily available for trade, but just because of his contract situation, there were a couple rumors that involved him. But yeah, overall, it was just so disappointing. So many other leagues have such an eventful trade deadline, whether that be the NHL, the NBA, even the MLB has some movement. But man, this was just, it's the second year in a row, and I don't know, it sucks for fans.
I think COVID could have played a part in it, just because I think maybe manager GMs are kind of just looking at it as like a lost season. If their team's bad, obviously, if their team's good, they think, well, whatever, let's go win a Super Bowl. But like, I think there's a little bit of that played into that. We don't want to, you know, make too big of a move and then look back and regret it. But yeah, it was very uneventful.
Yeah, for sure. The COVID definitely plays a part, whether that just be, you know, someone's got to get tested. Just moving of players, it's just different this year. But another thing to think about is the salary cap. With no fans in the crowd, who knows if the cap's going to go up in the next couple of years, and so many players want these big contracts, like a Will Fuller whose contract is expiring. But hey, if the cap's not going up, is it really worth it to deliver that deal with him? And that makes draft picks, you know, rookies that come into the league on such cheap deals just all the more valuable. But regardless, even in a day with practically zero movement, do you still see, it's hard for there to be winners, but do you see some losers out of the day?
I do see there being a loser from the deadline, and I think that's the Green Bay Packers. I really think they should have went out and made that move for Will Fuller. If you look at the NFC, I kind of think there's three teams that have a shot at the Super Bowl, and to me that's the Bucks, the Seahawks, and the Packers. And I think Will Fuller would have just added that extra element to the offense. You saw what he can do with DeAndre Hopkins in previous years in Houston, and I think that effect could have happened with Davante Adams and would have made their offense, would I say it's the best out of those three if they had Will Fuller? I might go as far and say that.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. You look at this Packers team, of course we all know how good Davante Adams is. In my opinion, he's, if not the best, he's one of the best. I put him right up there with DeAndre Hopkins in terms of the best wide receiver in the NFL, at least this season. You know, Julio hasn't been all that great, and Michael Thomas hasn't really seen the field. So the problem with the Packers, though, is they're so, so reliant on him. He had 3 touchdowns this past week. I think he had 2 or 3 the week ago. It was a monster game. He's incredible. But if a defense can take him out of the game, what options do they really have in terms of throwing the ball? Alan Lazard's on IR. He was showing signs of potentially having a breakout campaign before he went down earlier. I guess he'll be back, maybe they're banking on that, but he's not really a proven wide receiver too. You look at the teams that you mentioned that they're competing with, their options on offense going forward, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett for the Seahawks. They've been one of the best duos this year. You look at the Bucks, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they just went and added Antonio Brown. The Packers are already falling behind their biggest rivals in terms of their attacking options. So I think this is something that a second round pick, that's especially because it's going to be a later one. If you're going to have Super Bowl hopes, we expect the Packers to go deep into the playoffs. You have to be willing to part ways with that, especially, and this is the most important reason, is because Aaron Rodgers' days of truly being able to compete for a Super Bowl are numbered, and he's not going to be around forever. They've sort of had this lackadaisical approach to really trying to go all in now. We saw them draft Jordan Love, a quarterback that's not going to help impact this team for about 3 or 4 years, if he even gets to that point. It reminds me of a move similar to that. They're refusing to go all in for whatever reason. And Will Fuller is a tremendous receiver. He can stretch the field. He can, you know, he's good in the red zone. He has a lot of touchdowns this year. So, yeah, like you said, Green Bay Packers have to be a loser out of this deadline.
And also, just to add on, it's like if you are the Packers and you're going to be competing with the Bucks and the Seahawks, if the Packers are going to win those games, it's probably going to be a shootout because their defense is not all that great. You saw Dalvin Cook absolutely shred their defense. So it's like you're going to need to put up points. So that's why I would have went out and got Fuller. But I don't know. They didn't want to do it.
For whatever reason, apparently there were discussions at the highest level of the front office.
I know LaFleur wanted him.
LaFleur dealt with him. Here's a weekly Notre Dame reference. LaFleur was the quarterback coach for Paolo Gismondi's Notre Dame football team. He was the quarterback coach when Will Fuller was a wide receiver there, so he knows him very well. He sees what he can do. And I mean, Will Fuller, if you just look at his box score season by season, the numbers don't often pop off the screen just because he's dealt with injuries. But he's had so many times just monster weeks. And I think as a wide receiver too in Green Bay with Devontae Adams there, like you said, like that would have been just,
it would have freed up the whole offense.
Yeah. And Aaron Jones has been out the last couple of weeks, but when they get him back as well, you're talking about a serious top offense that can attack from so many different angles, where against the Bucs, we saw they were terrible. And this week against the Vikings, incredibly one-dimensional. So that's definitely a team that if in my opinion, they're Super Bowl or bust. If they don't win the Super Bowl, people are going to point directly to that Jordan Love pick and directly to their inability to commit to Will Fuller at the trade deadline. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, whatever. I'd be disappointed if I was a Packers fan. But bright side, I have Deshaun Watson in fantasy. So, hey, I wasn't too mad about Fuller staying in Houston.
Did you pick up a win in fantasy this week?
I absolutely did not. My team was terrible. But I know that you had a pretty big win, including dramatics in the
mine was a lucky win. We talked last week about you getting a lucky win. I think I won with 85 points this week. My two running backs that I used were from the waiver wire, and I needed a Gronk touchdown on Monday Night Football to get the win for me. But you know what? My team's faced a lot of adversity this year, so I'm feeling pretty good about
you're proud of the win when
I
can.
Yeah. So I know we tend to talk about our league every week on the podcast, but I'm in last place right now. I have a 3-5 record, and I'm one game back from third place, and it's a 12-team league. So that just shows you how, like, we shouldn't even be talking about the NFL. We should just be covering our fantasy league, because honestly, it's getting to be more exciting.
It's more interesting than the real NFL,
which is crazy.
I think there could be 6 4-4 teams.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Including myself, 4-4, ninth place.
4-4 with maybe the least points.
Least points in the league.
Forward in the league. But you know what? It is what it is. And I keep battling every single week. So yeah, very, very uneventful trade deadline, but I guess we're going to have to start getting used to them. This is becoming a trend in the NFL. It seems like teams really went out and did their business beforehand. The Seahawks added a pass rusher.
The Lions got Everson Griffin too. But
yeah. gearing up for that playoff run that you...
It's all over. Yeah, we're on the Justin Fields.
It's not happening anymore. Yeah. So, and then there was one more trade. Yannick Ngakoue went from the Vikings to the Ravens, which was a pretty big move for the Ravens as well. One trade I would have liked to see yesterday is the Titans adding a pass rusher. This is a team that's tied for second last in the NFL in sacks. They went up against maybe the worst offensive line in the NFL this past Sunday in the Bengals, and they didn't record a single sack. And that was a Bengals offensive line that was banged up. This is the Achilles heel of a team that through 5 weeks we really thought had a chance to compete in the AFC. And now we're starting to see, you know, maybe they have some bigger problems than we originally thought.
If you don't have a pass rush against the Bengals, you just don't have a pass rush.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody can get to Burrow's been getting hit all season long, and then all of a sudden, just clean pocket, pick them apart. They needed to make a move. You're right. I didn't even really think about that, but yeah, I don't know how they're going to compete with the top of the AFC, with that pass rush, and even like their third down defense is just awful.
Oh, it's brutal. That was their biggest problem. That Steelers game, they should have won, but they cannot get the Steelers off the field on third down. And you look at their, again, it's so important to not just talk about their team as a whole, but their competition. In the NFC, we talked about who the Packers would be going up against. In the AFC, they don't have a pass rush against the Bengals. Look at those top teams in the AFC. The Chiefs, fantastic offensive line. The Steelers, maybe the best offensive line in the league. And you can put the Colts in that conversation as well. The Ravens know how to protect the quarterback. They know how to run the ball. All the great teams in the AFC, even the Browns this year, have emerging and strong offensive lines. So for a team like the Chiefs, how are you going to compete? These quarterbacks are going to have all day to run the ball, and they're just going to get bullied if they can't pick it up, and they haven't addressed this.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Titans fan, I don't know. What's the hope? Like, you're right. I don't even know if they can win the division. Like, the Colts look good, but granted, it's against the Lions. But you're right, that mismatch, especially with the strength of their offensive and defensive lines, I can honestly see the Colts winning the division.
Yeah, that again is all down to the play of Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
He's looked pretty good. I gave him some criticism a couple weeks ago, but in the past few weeks, he's looked to turn it around. He picked your, again, granted it's against the Lions, but he picked your defense apart on the weekend. But yeah, the Titans and the Packers are both clear examples of there's players available. And I don't think teams are asking for a ton here. I mean, a second or a third round pick for Will Fuller, I think it's worth it. I honestly do, just because of what he can bring to that offense. And for the Titans, there are a couple pass rushers on the board. Tack McKinley from the Falcons, former first round pick. Ryan Kerrigan was available earlier. I know the football team there didn't really want to deal him, although he requested a trade, but everyone has a price. And I'm sure the Titans, if they really, really wanted to get something done, they could have. And now they're left with a team that, honestly, it's going to be very similar to last season, that if they're going to win games in the playoffs, Derrick Henry is going to have to run the ball 35 times a game and for 200 yards. And they're just going to have to dominate the clock, because I honestly don't see a way that they're going to be able to win the game on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Even if you have to overpay for somebody, but it gives you a shot at winning the Super Bowl, I'd do it. Like, I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders looking at the performances the last couple of weeks, but I don't know. Only time will tell.
Exactly. And I guess until next year, when we get super excited about the trade deadline, delay a podcast to talk about it, just to come on the next day and say nothing happened, but these teams should have done a move. But getting into other stuff from this past week, obviously the most anticipated game of the year, at least from my standpoint, was Tua Tagovailoa making his NFL debut. In my eyes, it certainly did not disappoint. It was the most excited I've ever been for a Dolphins game in my life. And it was maybe my favorite game to ever watch. And it wasn't for reasons of Tua's performance. It was that defense that truly stole the show and got us the win. But I don't know how much of the game you got to see, because you were obviously pulling your hair out at the time watching the Lions get destroyed by producer Paul Gismondi's Colts over there. But You know, what did you think of Tua?
So I watched like a condensed version of the game afterwards, like a 20-minute whatever, but I just want to get your opinion. Is it the easiest win of a game for a debut quarterback? I feel like he didn't do it. If you look, okay, at least looking at the box score, it's like he only threw for 94 yards, right?
Yeah, I think 94 or 93 yards.
I don't know how you can come out of that game good or bad. I think he's kind of just indifferent. Like, he didn't do anything.
I think that says it perfectly. It was probably the easiest NFL debut ever. But then I have a problem with people bringing up the box score because it wasn't really his fault. And I think I have a good comparison here. So I've talked about on the show before that, you know, I'm a pretty big soccer fan. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I watch two football matches sometimes on Sunday, but it's two different sports. And Sunday morning was Arsenal, the team that I support, up against Manchester United. And we had a little watch-along party. I know you hopped in it there for a little bit, even though you're not the biggest fan. But just watching soccer is a sport that so much – it goes unrecorded. There's so many stats that aren't measured. You can watch an entire player and you say, wow, this guy's amazing. And then you look at a stat sheet or a box score and there's really not much to show for it, just because stats are often goals and assists. And, you know, those don't come around too often. So soccer, you really, really have to watch to get a feel of how a player performs or how a player does in a certain game. Now in football, stats are so common. They're so, you know, you can so easily look at a box score and it's completions, attempts, passing yards, touchdowns, picks. And it's very, very easy to judge how a player performed in that game by just looking at that. But what I learned this weekend from watching Tua is that you cannot look at this box score and say, terrible debut, carried by the defense.
I think you can say carried by the defense, but that's not,
defense insinuates that he was horrible and then he needed the defense to come in and save him. The fact of the matter was, I don't think Tua threw a pass in the second quarter because Miami shut down the Rams. Then we took over. We fumbled in our own red zone from our running back, Myles Gaskin. Then we strip sacked Goff, ran it back for a touchdown. So that's the defense on. We give them the ball back. We shut them down. They punt to us. We score again. We give them the ball back. Tua's still not on the field. They come down. We strip sack off again. We run it back to the 1 yard line. We run it in one play up the gut. So Tua still hasn't thrown a pass. He's sitting on the sideline for practically, you know, game time aside, real time, probably over half an hour, 45 minutes without throwing a pass. He's rusty. He hasn't played in over a year. And now people are bringing in judgments that, oh, Burrow was great in his debut. Oh, Herbert was great in his debut. Tua doesn't have it. It's just something that it's so easy to say, I think, if you look at the box score. But knowing how that game really went, I don't think it's a fair assessment to truly judge Tua's ability in that debut. It's only one game. I guess the way it started off with his first ever drive being strip-sacked by Aaron Donald, he fumbles. It was just like, wow, everything that people said was going to happen has happened. And it seemed like the world was crashing down. I think he rebounded well and he did what he needed to do to get the win. And I think that's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, that's all you can ask for, right? You look at it like this, he didn't mess up.
Exactly.
Other than the fumble, it's like he did what he had to do. And it turned out to be fairly easy. Who did they play this week?
They play the Cardinals, which is Kyler versus Tua. It should be like, this is going to be a real test for him, I think. So I mentioned that he didn't really see the field at all in the second quarter. And then when he finally got to see the field, they were up 28-7 and it was just ultra conservative play calling. It's like they were honestly protecting him. And that's something that honestly, I did not like to see, but I think this weekend more of a high flying offense in the Cardinals. I don't think the Cardinals defense, while it is good, it's not of the level of the Los Angeles Rams. So I really expect them to open things up for Tua and say, all right, kid, you know, show us what you got, because as good as the Dolphins defense is, it's hard to stop Kyler Murray and DeAndre.
Yeah, they're going to put up, they're going to put up points. They're going to, you know, whatever. Let's see, even if it's like 27, 25, whatever around there, it's like, you're gonna, they're going to have to score this week. So yeah, that'll be an exciting game. I'd have to tune in, because at this point, what's there to watch with the Lions?
Yeah, I love how just you take 1 week and now you're getting up on the season.
I sold my stock on the team.
But now Kenny Galladay's out, and I think the Lions showed us their true colors against the Colts, just getting blown out like that. Who do you guys have this week?
The Vikings. Big divisional game.
See, again, you know what? This is a winnable game. The Vikings are coming off this amazing performance against the Packers. So, you know, maybe they'll take their foot off the gas a little bit, and maybe next week on the show, you'll be telling me how the playoff runs back on.
Or maybe the Vikings are turning around their season and they're about to rip off 5 in a row.
Essentially,
who knows? What
can happen. You talked about this. 1 week it's playoffs, 1 week it's the Justin Fields trade. You know you guys are going to end up 7-9 or 6-10 and draft 13th in the order.
It's course. That's the only way. Can't get a top 5 pick. Even though last year we did in Okuda. Great start this season. It's burned every game.
Already writing him off.
No. I have not lost faith at all.
Corners take more time. Yeah, that's the good part.
Yeah. Tough slate of wide receivers he's gone up against. So we'll cut him some slack.
Even Tua, you can't expect 400 yards and 4 touchdowns first game. But I really would like to see him throw the ball more this weekend. And going
over
up against
250 yards, make the prediction. Is he going to throw for over 250?
I'm going to say under 250.
Okay.
I think he'll be really close. I think he'll be around that 230 range. But we'll see what happens. I expect more of a run pass offense. I'd like to see him even get it going on the ground a little bit. But I think they are being very protective over him. But he will get better with time. I think nowadays the NFL has changed where people expect rookies to come in and just be a star from day one, because Andrew Luck did it in his rookie year and Cam Newton was great in his rookie year. But Peyton Manning, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, was, I think he threw 23 interceptions his rookie season. Tom Brady, many consider to be the GOAT. I know he wasn't this highly touted prospect, but early on in his career, he would throw for 150 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, and had this elite defense that would get him wins. So Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was a franchise quarterback. So let's be patient here with Tua.
Unless you're Herbert or Burrow.
But how many wins? I'd love to see.
Yes, you're right. I feel bad for Herbert.
I feel bad for Burrow too. So.
Tough sledding out there on those teams, but what are you going to do?
Actually, on that topic, we do have Herbert versus Tua in 2 weeks' time, and then I think 3 or 4 weeks down the road is Tua versus Burrow. So
those will be good.
These games are going to tell a lot going forward. Election night last night, we kind of started off the show with it and teased it for later on. How much of the election did you watch?
I watched enough. It's always entertaining to watch every news anchor lose their mind depending on who's winning, who's losing. But yeah, it was decent. It's still not over, which is insane to think, but here we are the next day.
Yeah, I went to bed last night at I think 12 o'clock, which is generally early for me. I was thinking I was going to stay up and watch it, but I just figured, you know what, I'll go to bed, get a good night's rest, and when I wake up, I'll see the big decision. And
nope.
I still haven't figured out what's happened, which is, I guess, crazy. I know Paulo stayed up till I think 5-6 in the morning. And just like me, he still doesn't know what happened. So who's the real loser here in all this? I got a good 8 hours. But I thought it would be fun to do a little election-themed NFL segment. Cast our votes, but not with presidential candidates, with teams. So you and I have both selected. I think we have five little teams here, or five sets of 10 teams, I guess. And just sort of who would we vote for? Who are we more confident in thus far or going forward? So yeah, I think we'll just hop right into it. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. Let's go. What's the first matchup here?
The first matchup of who would you vote for is the Titans or the Colts, two AFC South rivals.
This is tough. Both coming off drastically good and bad wins. If I were to vote, I'll still vote for Tennessee. I can't trust Phillip Rivers. Every time you think you can trust him, he shows you why you can't trust him.
Exactly. And he's getting older week by week. He's not getting any younger. So I think I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans. The Colts don't have anyone on their team that is of the caliber of Derrick Henry in terms of a true superstar. You look at the Colts. I mean, T.Y. Hilton's been great for so long, but who's really their number one option on that offense? Jonathan Taylor looks like a promising rookie, but
he got shut down against the Lions defense, which is not the greatest.
They were using Hines and even another running back in that rotation too. So, well, I think the Colts are a really balanced team, and I think that they're really going to push for the playoffs. I'm ultimately going to take the Titans when it comes down to it. So I'll agree with you on that one. The next little voting segment, who would you vote for, the Finns, the Miami Dolphins, or the Buffalo Bills?
This would be like, if this was a real election, I would hate whoever I'm voting. I'm not happy with either pick here. I think I'll pick the Bills.
Move countries. If it was a real election, you'd move to Canada.
I moved to Canada. I think the Bills have, I think they're kind of frauds, if I'm being honest. I don't think they're 5-2. I think they should have lost the Patriots. Or not should have lost. It should have went to overtime, I should say, at least.
Cam fumbled that game away.
Yeah, I don't. That's another topic there, Cam Newton. But I'll go with the Bills just because they've already beat Miami once. So at worst, they split. And what, they're 5-2?
Yeah.
So
they're a game ahead.
They're a game ahead. So just because of that, I'll vote for the Buffalo Bills.
To absolutely no surprise, I'm going with the Dolphins here. You mentioned that the Bills beat the Dolphins earlier. That was a game where we were missing our best player on defense, Byron Jones, and Stephon Diggs just absolutely tore apart our secondary. We had rookie Noah Igbinoghi on him, which was just a really tough matchup for the youngest player in the NFL. I think this offense for Miami is only going to get better as Tua plays and as the weeks go on. They have a tough matchup week 17 in Buffalo, which is somewhere where Miami never wins. But ultimately, I think we can get it done. That game's going to be for the division. And our defense just looks as good as the Bills' defense is. Our defense looks like a different animal right now. Josh Allen, these last 3 weeks, has really, really come down to earth. I don't think he's as bad as his play has suggested recently, but I don't think he's as good as that MVP start. I'm taking the Dolphins. Next up, and these two teams play next week for the final time, the Saints or the Bucs?
Looking at the Bucs and the Saints, I think I'm going to cast my ballot with the Buccaneers. I know the Saints beat him week one. I know that they have the huge Sunday night game this week, or is it Monday night? You know,
Monday night is actually the New York Jets versus the New England Patriots.
Oh, right. So how could I forget?
Monday night, I'm free Monday night, pretty much.
Yeah. So it's a Sunday night football then. I'm going to take the Buccaneers. I like their offense a lot better than the Saints. The Saints offense is way too one-dimensional for me. They just throw it to Kamara all day. Breeze still struggles to throw the ball down the field. He did it a little bit against the Bears. I'll give him credit there, but... and with the uncertainty of Michael Thomas, it seems like he's been week to week the whole season.
Yeah.
And he's just not playing at all. So, I'll take the Buccaneers.
This one is, I think, right now I'm thinking it's a little tougher than it should be just because what they've shown so far, I think the Bucs are a no-brainer. We're at a point of writing off the Saints a couple weeks ago when they barely escaped with a win against the Chargers. And now it just seems like they've won the past couple weeks, and here they are with a nice record. I think the Bucs have the better defense. So far they have the better quarterback so far this season, better wide receivers. One thing I'll say about the Saints, though, is I would really like to see them with Michael Thomas in the lineup. Who knows when that's going to happen? But as of now, I'm going to have to agree with you, and I'm voting for the Buccaneers. We have a couple more. This one I think can get interesting. The Cardinals or the Rams?
I don't even know. That's tough. Who am I casting my vote for? Basically, we're basically voting who we think is going to the playoffs. Who's getting the wild card?
Yeah.
Let's see. Are we agreeing that it's Seattle's division now?
Like, you think all three? Oh, that's sorry. That Seattle's going to win the division 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So this is tough. I'm going to go. I'll take the experience over the new guys here. I'll take the Rams. I think it's extremely close, but I don't know. Kyler, you've seen some games where he has off games. He's young, whatever, but I like McVay. I like Goff. And I think that I don't know. I'm trying to think whose defense do I like better? The Cardinals have shown some promise.
Pretty solid defenses. Aaron Donald just, I think, puts the Rams over the top. I think they have more star power.
Yeah. But
Cardinals defense has taken people by surprise this year. Buda Baker is maybe the best safety in the NFL right now. And they've had other players step up in different positions.
I'll take the Rams, but I hate it.
I think
I'll take the Rams. I don't know. Yeah. I'll take the Rams, I guess.
I'm going to take the Cardinals based on what I saw on Sunday. I keep raving about this Dolphins defense, but truly, I'm not exaggerating here. Every single time Jared Goff stepped back in that pocket, it was a nightmare. Either his throw was tipped, he was hit when he was thrown, he was knocked down. They could not contain. And I think you mentioned that Kyler Murray's going to have some bad games, and I think so as well. But the Rams offense, I think they're lacking that star power. I think Cooper Kupp is really good. Is he great? I'm not so sure.
Probably not. Yeah.
Their run game. Daryl Henderson's, he's a good running back. Malcolm Brown is a good number two guy. Cam Akers is a rookie we haven't really seen yet. Do they have a good run game? Yes, but are they great? No. When you have nothing that's truly great and you have an off game, I think you're going to lose. When you have some pieces of your offense that have more flair, more star power, like a DeAndre Hopkins, like a Kyler Murray, you can still put up some points even when you're not clicking on all cylinders. Again, it's hard for me to pick against McVay just because I really respect him as a coach. And I think the Rams are going to bounce back after this. They're going to bye now, and they're really going to look at that video and see what went wrong against Miami. But I'm going to pick the Cardinals here. But I agree with you. This one is, I think it's probably the hardest.
So close, yeah.
And the final one, actually, no, we have two more. But this is the final one that's within a division. And then the last one is more of a federal election in a way. The Bears or the Packers?
I feel like most people would think this is really easy. And it's just Packers going away, whatever. I'll still vote for the Packers and cast my ballot with Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's closer than people think because I think both teams have their inconsistencies, and it's weird with the Bears. You see Foles catch fire from time to time, and then you see him go ice cold, and it's very confusing. Nobody knows what's going on, but I'll take the Packers, but I think they'll only win the division by max two games.
What I'm starting to learn from the Bears, as much as I've slandered them on this show and said that, these guys aren't for real, I've called them frauds, I'll give them this. They make every game tough. And, a lot of times they can't get anything going on offense, but they're a tough team to play against. They're a great defense. I think they're pretty well coached. I'm beginning to, as the weeks go on, become more and more of a fan of Matt Nagy. And I think they have some pieces on offense that are really capable of helping you win football games. Allen Robinson may be the most underrated receiver in the NFL. So like you, I'm going to give the Bears a little bit more credit than I have been in recent weeks and say that, you guys are in every game and you always have a shot. So they're going to pick up wins as we go down the season. That being said, it's Aaron Rodgers here. It's Davante Adams. It's even without Will Fuller.
I'm still got Aaron Jones. Yeah,
exactly. And the final one, this is a who would you vote for to go further in the playoffs?
All right.
And we're going to look at the number one team in the NFC so far and the number one team in the AFC. And that's the Steelers or the Seahawks. Who would you vote for?
I'm going to vote Seahawks because I think both the teams get to the NFC-AFC championship games. But I like the Seahawks to beat whoever they play more than I like the Steelers to beat the Chiefs, who I think are going to be there. Like, they're a lock to make it to the AFC championship. I think the Steelers can still beat the Chiefs, but I'll take the Seahawks to go further, which I think they'll go to the Super Bowl.
So is that more a testament to you thinking the Seahawks are better than the Steelers, or is that more that you're just nobody's beating the Chiefs?
Yeah, exactly. The Chiefs are better than anybody in the whole league, frankly, but in the NFC. And so for that reason, I'll take the slightly weaker competition and say the Seahawks go further.
That's the thing with the Chiefs is they can lay an egg every single week going forward. And we just all know that when it comes down to the playoffs, they're going to have their best game. Mahomes is going to be firing. Even if they're down, you can't count them out. They truly are a different animal. I'm going to take the Seahawks as well. And I really like what I've seen from the Steelers so far, and they deserve to be undefeated. But I'm starting to be concerned that they're peaking at the wrong time. The NFL is all about you need to be playing your best football in February and late January. And I think right now the Steelers are playing their best football. You look at last Sunday, the Ravens outgained them.
They should have lost.
They should have lost, and they won. And I think a week ago against Tennessee should have tied it, and Gostkowski blew another field goal. It just seems like everything is going in the Steelers' direction right now.
They're catching their breaks at the wrong time.
I think they're starting to get a little bit cocky, and eventually this team's going to fall. They're not going to go 16-0. They're going to lose some games down the road. And then I think they have some issues right now that aren't being not a lot of light. Yeah, they're not being addressed, right? Just because they're winning. And we saw last week against the Ravens, Big Ben struggled to throw the football. They struggled to pick up first downs. So I think they're a great team, but I think they're peaking at the wrong time. I love Chase Claypool. Talk about him every week on the show. We talked about this. I think they're getting a little cocky. The TikToks after the game, the tweets, the social media videos. You look at the Seahawks team. We know what Russell Wilson is about. He's about winning, and that's it.
I have a theory.
This Sunday,
go ahead. Yeah,
and he goes home. That's it. That's all he does.
I have a theory. It's my favorite theory about the NFL that I've come up with, and I think it's always right. And it's the team that dominates social media never wins the Super Bowl.
Last year was the Ravens.
So last year was the Ravens. You can go back and think about it. Last year was the Ravens. The year before that was the Chiefs. The year before that was the Rams.
The Eagles. Well, that was the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, correct?
No. Was it?
Yeah, because the year the Chiefs dominated was Mahomes' MVP year, and the Rams played the Patriots in the Super Bowl that year.
Okay, yeah, right. And then the year the Eagles won, the Patriots dominated social media, and that was the year Brady won MVP. This goes back to the Cam Newton and the Panthers.
Yeah, Matt Ryan and the Falcons.
The Broncos with that offense when they got blown out
every
year. So that's my theory. So Steelers are dominating social media equals no Super Bowl.
And it's like the NFL loves them right now because, well, they're not new because the Steelers have been a good team for a long, long time. They have some emerging stars.
They're a fun team.
Chase Claypool, they're fun. But I think as soon as they start to struggle a little bit, people are going to get tired of this little social media celebration we have every week. And that's when we saw when the Ravens lost last year. They were, then they become the bad guy. Everyone loved to make fun of the Ravens. Everyone loved to point to the photo of Derrick Henry stiff-arming Earl Thomas. So I think the Seahawks are, like you said, they're not as good as the Steelers in terms of an overall football team. But I'm going to trust Russell Wilson, and I'm going to vote for him. And I think they're a little bit more focused on the true prize, which is not a Week 8 win, but a Super Bowl. And sorry to producer Apologist Mondi if we hurt his feelings there, bashing his Steelers, but...
This could all change, though. Who knows? There's still time left in the season. So
next week is the re-election.
Yeah, so okay.
We'll see.
They're still counting ballots the whole week till the next time we record.
Is there anyone else? But before the polls close, is there anyone else you'd like to vote for going forward in the season that you really think is going to lead the way in this league?
No, there's nobody. I mean... I'll throw a vote to the Raiders as a guaranteed playoff team.
I'm going to throw a vote to Brian Flores, Dolphins head coach, to win coach of the year.
All right.
Okay.
I like
Miami to win the AFC East. That's my vote. The polls are closed. Voting's done. On to the final segment of the show.
Everyone's favorite segment.
Listen, we had some red hot weeks early on. But I think we're 2 weeks in a row with 500 records.
500. Cooled off a bit. There? Yeah. Not ice cold, but we've cooled off.
And let's not forget that this week is just a different animal.
Turn the dial up.
We're officially on the back nine of the NFL season, which means we both agreed we would be picking three teams against the spread every single week, which could go very, very poorly and really mess up, which I'd say we both have very good records right now. A winning record against the spread is something to celebrate.
The records right now are, I believe, I'm 8-4.
And I'm 7-5.
And you're 7-5. All right. So both above 500, both playoff teams. But now we're playing more games. So who knows what could happen. I believe I get first pick.
You are first pick this week.
Great. I'm looking at the spreads right now, as I always do in the moment. What jumps out at me? The lack of planning
on you is just, I can't believe that I'm losing.
But it's been working so far. So why would I change up what I'm doing?
That's true.
First thing I like the Texans at -7 against the Jaguars. I think that the Houston offense has shown that they can put up points, and the Jaguars are just, they're just really struggling. As much as Houston's struggling, I think they're struggling more. I like Houston to win by spread 7. They're going to win by 10.
This is going to be Houston's one win is against Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's starting, I can't even remember his name. It's Minshew's hurt. Mike Glennon's the backup, and they're going with a 6th-round rookie. I want to say his name's Tom Lutton, but I don't want to be disrespectful if I get his name wrong, but I'm just trying to emphasize
going with the rook
that the Texans should be favored by more than 7, in my opinion. So that's a good pick there. And I probably would have gone with that as well if I could, if I had the first overall pick this week. But my first pick, I'm going with my Finns. +4.5 against the Cardinals. When will they learn? That's all I'm going to say. When will they learn? Every week, we're never favored, and we always cover the spread. I'm not saying we're going to win this game because I think it's going to be really tough, but...
A field goal, right?
Yeah, give me that all day.
All right, take the yeah. Even if the Cardinals, I can see that Cardinals win on a field goal. All right, looking at it, what's the next spread that jumps out at me? This seems too easy. It seems too easy. It seems like Vegas is begging me to make this bet, but I'm gonna fall for the trap anyways. I'll take the Seahawks at -2.5. If I'm backing up my statement earlier of the Bills are kind of frauds, they lose this game.
The only thing that scares me about that is that it's in Buffalo.
Yes, but you know what? I did a little bit of research for this one game. I forgot about this. So I prepared for this one pick, actually. It's going to be 19 and sunny in Buffalo. Beautiful.
Yeah, weather's actually, it's a beautiful day outside today. I know we had snow a couple of days ago, but...
we don't live in Buffalo, but yes.
Hey, we're not far. Similar. Closest.
Similar. Yes. But yeah, I like them to
doing research for the weather. Yeah. That's why you're a game ahead of me.
That's why I'm 8-4.
My second pick, I'm again going to go with a road team. This is must win for them. It is must win the Ravens 2.5 over the Colts. If the Ravens lose this game, not only are their division hopes completely gone, because they're already 2 games behind the Steelers, but their playoff hopes are in jeopardy. So I'm taking the Ravens to cover. It's only 2.5 points, which I'm liking. Hopefully, for not only the sake of this pick, but for my fantasy team as well, Lamar Jackson can finally look like the Lamar Jackson of last year. Lock that pick in.
Only thing I'd be concerned about is the COVID scenario there. I know Marlon Humphrey has it, I'm pretty sure.
So if the game gets canceled, then I get the pick right. I think that's the
movie. If the game gets canceled, you will send a pick to me or to producer Paulo, and it will be official, and we will let the people know. We will be honest.
That is very fair.
Yes.
Speaking of that COVID games in jeopardy, the 49ers and Packers game tomorrow, both teams have cases, facilities are shut down. So, I don't know.
Maybe no Thursday night football.
Maybe you can use that as a strategy. Buy more time, pick that game, and then you have more time to think about it.
I'm going to take, what's my third pick? There's a couple games I like, but I'm going to pick the Giants and the football team, because right now I'm 2-0 picking, or 2 or 3-0 picking games with the Washington football team. So they are my team to bet on. I know them like the back of my hand. So I'm going to take the Giants +3.
You bet on that game last time. This is the second matchup. I think you got it right.
It only ended up
being by one. But I think you took the Giants.
I remember I took the football team +3 and they lost by one.
Covered, yeah. So
yeah, and they lost by one. I don't really love this one, but I'll take the Giants +3. I think they look decent against the Buccaneers. I think the defense has really come alive. I think it's even better than the last time they played the football team. And I'm getting 3 points. Who knows? Maybe it's another 1 point win. Or 1 point loss for the Giants, and they still cover. So I like it. I'll take the Giants.
Not to buy myself more time here, but I just want to acknowledge what a different animal picking an extra game is.
The third pick you don't like. You can't like it.
I think this is going to completely ruin my record. If I go 0-3 this week, I have a below .500 record. There's a lot of games where I just look and I say, I don't know if I like that. I'm honestly looking at the Jets +7 right now, but I made the mistake that was already a week ago, picking them +19.5, and they could not even cover that for me. So I'm completely ruling that one out. Ooh, yeah, there's a lot of tough ones.
What about the Steelers? 13.5?
Sunday night football game. I feel like all the primetime games have just been weird this year.
Close too.
Bucks were favored by what, 12 or 11.5 this Monday, and they won by 1 or 2 points in the end.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. This is episode 8. I think the first 7 episodes of the podcast, I've put down the Chicago Bears and I've said they're frauds. And then today I came out and said that, you know what, I think I was a little bit wrong with them, but not totally wrong. And I gave them credit for keeping games close. And the fact that the Titans are favored by 6 seems like a little too much to me. And I think that this game's going to be close. I got the Bears +6, which means I'm taking 2 underdogs this week. So that's it. Those are the 3 picks.
I've taken 3 road teams this week. Not sure I feel about that looking at it, but
I've also taken 3 road teams. So it might be an 0-6 week.
It could be an 0-6. No, it's a week for the road teams. 3-0, 6-0 overall. And that's it. On our way to above .500 the rest of the year.
That's it. Lock them in.
Lock them in.
The first week of 3 picks. We'll see how this experiment goes going forward. But that is going to do it for today's episode. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on Instagram. At From the Nosebleeds Pod. We are going to be ramping up the post there with some more engaging posts, as well as clips from the podcast as well. Thanks for listening today. Hope you got to enjoy our little voting segment, and we will see you next week.
Have a good week, guys.